Here's a slew of questions from Radha Shalini, Devidasi, and Sydney, and I found these questions. They're dated back from January the 8th. So sorry for not having gotten them to them as yet. Okay, here we go. Read your talk about pride in our work. Could you please elaborate on ISKCON is not responsible for the devotees living outside the temple. I'm sorry, but the context of this is so far back in time. I guess it must have been 4 months ago, 5 months ago. So I can only reply to it generally. In terms of ISKCON not being responsible, I mean the institution, the temples or yatras, can only take financial responsibility for devotees who are giving everything to the institution and therefore are dependent on the institution. That then becomes the give-and-take relationship. If a devotee gives his life for the service of the society, then it's the obligation of the society to take care of him. If a person is Krishna conscious, is a member of ISKCON, supports ISKCON, but at the same time has his own independent means of maintenance, doesn't give all of his time, energy, life to the service of the society, then just from a practical financial point of view, the society will not be able to take care of such a person, and obviously it's impractical to expect that. ISKCON neither has the resources, but even if it did, morally it would not be right. Therefore, the understanding is that generally devotees who are not temple residents, which means that they're either volunteers, and while they're volunteers, they're being maintained, but if they become self-sufficient, independent devotees, then that maintenance ceases. However, devotees who then continue on and become lifelong missionaries, if I can use that word, then the society must, and those devotees should expect that they will be taken care of. That doesn't mean that we don't take care of or aren't interested in the welfare, the spiritual practices, enthusiasm of devotees outside. In my understanding, the context here referred to feeding, housing, health care, and all such provisional care for a Vaishnava and his family throughout his life. So the question is, here is a person struggling with his spiritual life. There'll be no help and guidance provided by the temple. No, the temple's function is to preach and to provide shelter and guidance. But if a devotee is struggling financially, or if he is not doing well in this business, then he or she should not expect that the temple will come to the rescue. That's not the function of ISKCON. Although ISKCON may encourage other householders to develop that type of help care system. Sorry about the dogs, but not much I can do about them right now. Another question, what about devotees who don't live at the temple but serve the deities regularly and assist other devotees who are full-time with their preaching and book distribution? They're ideal. That's what devotees need to do. All devotees are not meant to be living in the temple, and the temple is not meant to accommodate everyone. But temple is a place where devotees can come and render service and help with the coordinated missionary activities of the Krishna consciousness movement. She continues, I often assist devotees financially to help in the preaching activities. Is that counted as preaching? Yes, if you support the preaching, then that is also preaching. Are preachers and book distributors superior to devotees who don't live at the temple and don't preach? Here, I think there's a confusion between the people who perform an activity and the activity itself. The activity of book distribution, the activity of preaching is certainly the most important of devotional activities. and it's more important than working in the material world, or even perhaps by comparison, doing some other type of devotional activity. But that doesn't necessarily mean that the devotees who perform those activities are automatically better than devotees who are doing some other type of activities, or who are not distributing books or not preaching. A devotee is determined by his strength of character, his Krishna consciousness, his advancement in devotional service, his humility. Someone who is running a little corner grocery shop may be more endowed with these qualities than a book distributor. But still, because the activity of book distribution is so important, the devotees who are performing the book distribution activity, even if he's not so advanced, he will be offered respect. For instance, Srila Prabhupada told devotees that they should offer respects to all sannyasis, even Mayavadi sannyasis. Technically speaking, devotees are in a much superior position than a Mayavadi, because Mayavadis are aparadis. Still, Srila Prabhupada asks those who are in a spiritually superior position to offer respect to a sannyasi, because that sannyasi is representing the highest social status. He's in a particular role. In the same way, we'll respect devotees who perform the most important of devotional activities, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they are better than others. Questions continue. Is preaching going out talking to individuals about Krishna consciousness, or does it go beyond that? Preaching is going out and talking to people about Krishna consciousness. Does preaching go beyond that? I don't know if the word is beyond. Other things are included in preaching. Ultimately, all activities that support going out and giving people Krishna consciousness also constitutes preaching. But once again, the person who's actively performing that activity of preaching is given respect because of the respect given to the preaching activity. So, jyade deke tarikaha Krishna upadesh. Whoever you see, wherever you go, just give them Krishna upadesh. That's preaching. Continuing. In some cities, living at the temple is not an ideal situation due to lack of space, etc. What happens in that situation? Yes, living in temples is not compulsory. It's not meant for everyone. And for devotees who don't live in temples, then they practice Krishna consciousness by perfecting their profession, by working, preaching themselves in their homes, holding programs, funding and assisting other preaching activities, and the success of Krishna consciousness movement. That's what happens everywhere, even if there is room in the temples. I think in many parts of ISKCON, the problem isn't due to a lack of space in the temples, but that there aren't enough devotees to fill the temples. But whatever may be going on, what is important is the devotees are working cooperatively to fulfill the mission which Srila Prabhupada established for the society. We have a little more. In some temples, more emphasis is placed on collection of Lakshmi. Is that preaching indirectly? It may be indirect, it may be direct. It depends what's going on. When you go out and ask people to give a donation for the Krishna consciousness movement, because of our activities, and invite people to come to the temple, also give them books, then it's preaching. If the money is going directly for preaching activities, then it's preaching. If the money is going more for maintenance of individuals and not even necessarily for temple activities, then it becomes very indirect. In fact, it may be not preaching at all. As a general principle, our mood should be actually giving. We're giving people Krishna consciousness in the form of books, in the form of the holy name, in the form of speaking about Krishna. And naturally people reciprocate because they felt that they've really gotten something important. And in that way, Lakshmi Devi comes. Anyway, in summary, if devotees, wherever they are, always seek opportunities to give Krishna consciousness to others, work cooperatively together to spread Krishna consciousness, then they're always glorious, they're always rightly situated, and they're certainly beneficiaries of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. Hare Krishna.